Here to facilitate what God wants to do. I'm not going to do it all. In fact, I don't want to do anything really, but be here and engage, but we'll see. Now, you know, God's heart and what God mandated me to do was to come and engage the spine and the heart of the nation. And, you know, having come from Texas and Dallas up through Wichita up to here, I believe that mandate has been outworked. And tomorrow, you know, we're really looking tomorrow to begin to engage legislatively for the government in this nation and everything that God wants to do in removing the barriers and the obstacles of things that are there. So there's lots of things that, you know, we've been engaging in. It's been great that you've been interacting, sharing with each other, cross-pollinating, connecting with different parts of the country, which is good. Because tomorrow God wants to bring us together as one. So it doesn't matter where you're from, tomorrow you come as one. To bring one fragrance, different fragrances together to bring the fragrance of God in what we're doing. And, you know, there's a sort of big quilt on the thing, which Pam did. And have a look at it, touch it, engage it. There's something, again, where all this sort of things and coming together around the central purpose of God's kingdom. It's got an eagle in the middle, which, you know, your nation has an emblem of an eagle. Now, we know one of the four faces of God is an eagle, which is legislative and governmental and apostolic. So it'll be good to continue to engage with that over the time. Now, I want to share tonight some just of a short time about the courts. And someone asked about laws and what are laws and how do you make laws and what do you do with them once you made them. And I've got some examples of that to share with you so that we can look tomorrow to establish legislative government and to see the authority of the kingdom outworked here. So we have used this scripture, Zechariah 3:7. And it talks about having charge of the courts. There's a process to having charge of the courts. You don't start jumping in at the high-level courts. You learn to use the mobile court, and then you have access to other courts for God's governmental purpose. The courts are not there primarily for us. They're primarily there for us to find and outwork the purposes of God and his kingdom in our lives and through our lives. So we have this whole aspect of the different court systems of heaven, operating in the different realms of heaven, kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, heaven, heaven of heavens. And there are lots of different aspects of those courts that we need to understand to be able to use them effectively. So to have charge of the courts, you need to know the courtroom protocols, the judicial court, the mobile court of accusation. You know, a lot of people are now functioning with that. I mean, Terry's here. He'll tell you how much interest there is in their website and the courtrooms of heaven and everything that God's doing, because this is something that God is bringing to the body to bring the body out of how we used to do things into a new way. You know, and a lot of people, we used to pray, and there's nothing wrong in praying, but I wouldn't advise you praying from this realm. Because if you're praying from this realm, what you're doing is trying to get to that realm through an atmosphere. You know, go into that realm and talk to God. You know, don't try and call him to come down here, because he'll only say, I've called you to come up here. Yeah? Because he's gone beyond doing things for us, because he wants to do things with us so we can do things with him. So there is a whole different dimension to intercession. Everything God is establishing from a new order. Ministry, prayer, intercession, whatever you can talk about in old forms of ministry, he's renewing them and doing something new. So he wants us to understand how to function as sons of God and have charge of the courts and use them effectively to bring legislative government. Now, some are judicial, but they're not necessarily criminal. Now, a criminal court is where you deal with criminal things, and some of the mobile court stuff, we deal with some of those things. But a lot more like the councils and assemblies, more like a governmental cabinet, where decision-making things of heaven go on. Now, you can't just, you know, jump into a court and do anything you like. Try that in a natural court. You know, and in the US, you have a big guy, usually with a gun, who will be ushering you out, usually under force, you know. So you have to know what you're doing. Now, God isn't going to be down on you if you don't get it right every time. It's a learning curve. And you can go into the courts and the councils of God and you can observe. There are galleries there to watch. You know, so if you're unsure, go and have a look. Oh, how do I do that? By faith. You know, do everything by faith. Engage by faith and you'll start to see that God will open things up. So courtroom protocols, there is the court of war or strategy, which where we present mandates that have already been authorized and we get strategy for them. It's great when God tells you what to do, but not so great when you don't know how to do it. So that's where you can find the how to do it. And, you know, how I see it often, there's this, the movement of the ordinances of heaven in that place. Just like in a war room on earth, where there are planes, little planes, and they get shifted around, and that's an indication that there's a moving of those forces. You know, we're talking about an army rising up. You know, that army is the Joshua generation. Because you have to go in and take possession of the land. You know, you can do it supernaturally, but you still have to do it with a knowledge that it belongs to you and you're willing to dispossess whatever is in the way, hindering us seeing the kingdom fill the earth. So in that place, you know, you can see angelic legions and things moved around in the realms of heaven, but also you can get earthly mandates and earthly strategies to show you what to do on earth. You know, we've done many prophetic things and prophetic acts on earth because God has shown us what to do in the heavens. We never do anything on earth unless God does show us what to do in the heavens. Because you have to establish the kingdom in heaven, so as it is there, it can come onto the earth. So I would encourage you, if you're new to these things, if you're just learning about things, stop doing things in this realm. Because they're ineffective, and they'll become even less ineffective as God continues to remove the authority of those old things to enable us to embrace the new things. Because there's a whole new order of things beyond the veil. And that's where we have access to go and engage these things. So if you want a strategy, if you know, need to know what and then how, then engage there. You know, some things are very practical. A lot of things are what we do in heaven with declarations and decrees and other things to prepare for things that happen on earth. So in the court of angels, as its name implies, it's full of angels. Legions and legions and legions of orders of angels that assign. So the four angels that come here, who some of you have had some interesting encounters with today, they volunteered for that role when I went there with a mandate, you know, about 3 years ago. And I went there to talk about how we could transition from the old to the new. And God basically had inspired me to go, and I went with a mandate. This was just for our church at the time. And those four orders of angels volunteered. Now, I didn't know how to work with that to start with, but they volunteered. So I assumed that, okay, if they volunteered, then they want to do something. So I invited them to come in our meetings, and they would come, and they stood where they were going to stand. They just came, and I noticed where they were standing. And then we started to engage them. You know, and they come every Sunday. We invite them. Every time we meet, in every setting, we invite those four angels to come. Because we know they're very significant in helping us transition from old to new. So we need transformation, which means transformation, change. Well, we don't like change too much. But actually, if you don't change, you can never become like Jesus. One degree of glory for another. It implies change, renewing of the mind, an ongoing transformation or transfiguration or metamorphosis from what you were to back to what you were before you were. Because you were something in eternity before you were something here. And God wants to bring you back to that eternal pattern. So you can truly be beings of light, sons of God, and operate that way. So angels and the angelic court, they understand agreed mandates, authorizations. They understand that, they recognize it, they recognize the authority that you carry when you have an authorization from the king, from God. And they want to be involved. You know, I've never been in the court of angels and there's been any shortage of volunteers. because they want to be involved in what we're doing. That's what they were created for. They're ministering spirits on behalf of those who are heirs of salvation, according to Hebrews 1. So be prepared to engage them. You know, Court of Chancellors is a higher level court. There are chancellors, there are high chancellors, there are different levels of authority in the realms of heaven. This is where I've learned to take mandates, laws, legislation that need authorization. And I was given a chancellor's seal, and sometimes I sit at that bench and authorize other people's things who come, bring them. You know, and a few times I've had to not authorize it because it wasn't complete. Someone brought something into the court which didn't have a fulfillment attached to it, so I didn't feel authorized to authorize it and seal it. You know, but I sent them away and they came back again. And next time it was authorized. So there are things that go on there which we need to understand how the kingdom functions. When God gives you something to do, it needs to be authorized and sealed, lion, ox, eagle, man, to bring an alignment with heaven and earth and to bring an alignment with the four faces of God, which is the order of Melchizedek government. Because we're in a new order. The old order has ended, and the new order is of the order of Melchizedek, which is a heavenly order, because we are royal priests. So that's a royal priestly order, because Melchizedek was a royal priest, a king and a priest. So it's really important to know your identity so you can outwork those things there. Now, there are many other things that go on in these courts and the things that I'll just share. I'm just going to share what my experience is. I know others have had other experiences. Whatever you encountered there, great, that's for you. But be open to experience that. You know, make sure whatever you get given, you get sealed and agreed. And often I've seen the cloud of witnesses show up there. They come and seem to stand next to people, and they're really excited because they've been authorized again to support us. They've run their race, their lap of the race, and they've passed the baton. And they didn't go home and sit on a cloud with a harp and sing nice songs to God. You know, they're still cheering us on. They're still surrounding us. There are the cloud of witnesses that are around us all the time. You know, and they are turning up in meetings. You know, I shared before that, you know, I was in a meeting last year, August the 7th, and I was there and I was engaged in worship, and four of the cloud of witnesses turned up, stood right next to me. You know, I said before, the difference between the cloud of witnesses and the men in white linen is the men in white linen are on assignment. They're part of the cloud of witnesses, but when they're on assignment, they're called the men in white linen. And they can be ladies, women of white linen as well. It's a generic term, not a gender-specific term. Because you will find people turn up. And, you know, we had our assigned cloud of witnesses and men in white linen to us. You know, had several women in there, you know. So be open for that engagement. You know, don't be afraid. You know, you aren't talking to the dead. You're talking to the living. They are spirits who are alive in heaven, and you can talk to them in that realm. And they don't turn up in physical form, but they do engage in a spiritual way. If they do, ask them what they're come for. You know, if anything turns up, other than some demon when you just get rid of them, if anything from heaven turns up, find out why they're there. Because God will have sent them with a message or a purpose or with something. So don't just sort of like, oh, an angel. Go and find out what they're doing and cooperate with them. And sometimes they will come and cooperate with what you're doing and support you in what you do. So often there's a great angelic excitement when people go to the court chancellors because they know that people are getting something important to do in their lives. So, you know, be willing to go with that. Court of Scribes, you know, is where you take the sealed mandates or scrolls or laws or blueprints, and they get written into the statute books. You have a statute book for your life. In that statute book is a record of every court case you've ever done. There's a record of every law you've ever made, every authorization you've been ever given. There's a record that you can use, and that record you can go back to and use over again. You know, when things are put into the records, into the statutes, they're there for use. It's not just that they're written in there for fun. You use them. You use the laws of the land. You enforce them, when you're authorized to do something and something gives you access, you use it. So don't be afraid of using the authority that God gives you and outworking that authority. So it's great when you receive that legislation. They're also in that record rooms, in the Court of Scribes, records of everything. Your scroll of destiny, your scroll of your life, they're all in there. There's also a record of every prophetic word that's ever been brought. And if you want to know what the prophetic word's over your area, your region, your city, your life, go there and ask. You can't just waltz in there and just see anything. You have to have authorization, and it has to be within your sphere of government. But you can see a lot. It's much easier to do spiritual mapping in heaven than it is on earth. You know? Because you don't have to do an awful lot of research. You just go and ask to see, and you get revelation. And the things you really get there are the things you really need to use and do. So there are all sorts of legal rights that the enemy has, which are there, recorded. So if you want to know why things are being blocked in your life, you can go to the court and you can demand to hear your accusers, but you can also go on a wider setting and actually see historic things which may not be just for you, but things that are blockages for your region or your area or for your ecclesia or whatever you're used in with authority, and find those things out there. Now, the Court of Kings is one of the places where you have to have authority or a specific mandate to engage it. You know, it's a level of court which talks about kings. So if you're operating in lordship, unless you're given a mandate to go there, then don't just try and go and make a law. Or don't go and try and make legislation without the authority and authorization to do it. Because it won't work. Yes, you can. You can go and observe in any of the courts, because you will need to use them in the future. You know, but just see what goes on, you know. So what I found when I went to the Court of Kings, first time I went there, a scroll appeared when I sat down at this bench. And this scroll, then I wondered what I was supposed to do. Wisdom took me there. Wisdom showed me all these things, because she is there to help us understand how to rule and to govern, to legislate, and do all those things. So she took me there. I stand, sit there, take a seat. This scroll's there. And I didn't know what to do. No? So I just sat there and I let my spirit show me what to do. And it just birthed this law. I felt it just come out of my spirit onto the page. And there it was written on the page just before me. So I wrote it down. And then, because I journal everything, you know, everything I do in the realms of heaven, I journal. Now, because I don't need to see with my eyes closed, because I know what I'm doing in the realm of the spirit, and my spirit is completely flowing, so I'm aware, I can do that with my eyes open. So I have a Galaxy Tab note thing, which recognizes my handwriting and things. So I just write, and it produces a nice file for me. And I do that with everything. Everything God says, everything I say, what I'm seeing, what I'm doing, all the things that are going on, I journal. And I would encourage you to do so. Keep a record. If there's a record of everything done in the realms of heaven, yes, it might be advisable to turn your things to silent. You know, there's a record of everything, so make a record yourself, you know, because then you can go back to it. Then you, if you don't understand some of the encounters you have, you can use the record to re-engage it and step back into it so you can get more revelation of it. Use it as something that anchors, because if you receive anything and you don't do anything with it, you will lose it. Your mind will actually shred it. So much gets shredded because we don't engage it. Your hippocampus in your brain shreds all sorts of information, and all the spiritual stuff that you don't actually tune into, you lose. And many of the things people have, they lose because they don't use them. So use it or lose it. Yes. If you re-engage and repeat and re-engage and repeat, your hippocampus in your brain says, this is important. Yeah. I will keep and store this as a record, which you can go back into. So when you see the laws, and sometimes you're given legislation which already exists, there are things that have already been written that we can actually be given and we can use. But there are things that you will produce. And we need to produce new things because we're in a new day. We've never been here before. You know, Ian Clayton, when he said that in 20th of December 2012 was the end of an old order, and you could not see into what was beyond that because we were now going to write it, then you need to be aware of that. Now, be open. There are no things which are now written for what's coming, other than Jesus coming one day when we finish the work and when everything's restored. So most of it now is down to us to actually bring into being, because we've been given authority as God's children to co-heir in the kingdom, and we write history every day, every one of us. You have the power to create a reality around your life which is coming from every decision you make. So be careful you make the decisions that are by God. When I started to, you know, when I was talking this afternoon about having my mind rewired and being able to engage in more places at once spiritually, one of the things, you know, I was shown, and when I opened the door in my mind, or God opened the door in my mind, and I could see this connection between these pathways, I could see so many possibilities in front of me, I didn't know which one to choose. Literally, because there's a billion trillion things you could do every second. Which one is the right one? Well, A, you have peace in your heart, which can be a guide. You have your conscience, which also empowered by reverence and fear of the Lord, can be your guide. But actually, when I was looking, and the Father was standing there with me, because he'd walked me into this place and showed me this connection and how my mind can be operating not linearly, but eternally, so I have that perspective to see everything, I actually started to see there was like this golden thread. And I was, well, what's that? And basically, he said, that's the thread you need to follow to make the decisions. And I thought, well, it's not very straight. You know, because you can have a piece of golden thread and you could pin it here on the table and you could pin it here on the table, beginning and the end, and they could be so tight that you can't do anything with the string. But this wasn't like that, because the reality of our conscious way of engaging, if we go engage in eternity in what was in the beginning, and there's a pin put in the beginning, and the end should match the beginning, because everything comes around, so that the end and the beginning meet, so at the end, everything, there's a new beginning. There's never an end without a new beginning. If it's there as a two points, and it's not rigid or stiff, it can be bent any shape. So long as you actually follow to the beginning and the end, God gives you a great amount of leeway in which how you can create and do things. It's not only one way. Yeah. You have myriads of ways to do the things that God's calling you to do, not just one. And if you do happen to do one which isn't quite following the thread, what would you think he'll do? Chop your head off? You know? Of course he won't. He'll bring good out of every situation and bring you back onto the thread. Because that's what he does. Because he loves us. You know, so even when we do stray offline, so long as we recognize it and follow the choices and the options he gives us to get back online, then we can. So don't think there's only one way to actually do the things that God's called you to do. And that way you'll be so rigidly worried about getting it right, you won't do anything. Because you'll fear getting it wrong, which is what the enemy does. Causes you to fear getting it wrong. And when you fear getting it wrong, you don't do it. Fear of failure is a big problem in the church. Yeah. People are afraid of the responsibility of doing something because they think God is going to tell them off.
Yeah.
He doesn't. He only uses every mistake you make as an opportunity of learning and getting it right the next time. So don't think God is there waiting for you to get it wrong. He's waiting, if you do get it wrong, to help you put it right.
Yes.
That's the loving God that we have.
Yes.
And every choice that we make, and every choice that everyone makes, this is what God showed me when I was engaged in eternity, everyone, he's in love, has a way to get something good out of it. Because all things work together for good. That's his desire. So when you engage in that, there are many ways, and you can follow those ways so long as the end and the beginning match. And because he's given us creativity. You know, we're creative children of God, made in his image, to be creative in how we do things. So when you come and make laws and do things, they're not things that have already been agreed when you make them. They come out of your spirit's creative ability to call things into being, to make things happen. And everyone has that creative ability. Don't be afraid to use it. Don't hold back. So many people are holding back because they don't think they're good enough. They don't think they're worthy enough. They don't think they know enough. The more you know, the worse it is. Actually, the least you know, you're more dependent on getting God to tell you what than help you do what to do. You know, so don't be afraid. You know, don't allow your past to rob your future. You know, really don't, because God has already forgiven all that. And if there are things in your past that are affecting your present, then you can deal with them so they don't affect your future. So I would encourage you, when it comes to these things and establishing it, don't get legalistic with it. It isn't a legalistic thing. We're talking about legal things, but not legalistic things. Legalism is the realm of legalists. Religion. No, religion, basically, brings legalists. How many rules are there in religion? You know, and all those religions are all there, and they are there to try to put you into bondage when God wants to bring you into freedom. And that freedom is to allow you to be you. And your creativity will create the future. Because it isn't written. You know, I know Ian Clayton says he's been to 2057. Now, I don't believe he's actually been to the year 2057. I believe he's been in the heart of God and seen what the heart of God is for 2057. Because you can see it there in the heart of God. It hasn't happened yet. The timeline does not go forward. The only way you can engage what is to come is to go into what was before there was anything. Then what was, you bring into what is, then you will be able to work out what will come. You know, I've looked at the timeline. You know, I've been on it, and I haven't been able to see forward. Because if Ian Clayton says you can't see beyond 2012, well, how can he go to 2057 by going forward? Because you can't go beyond there. So you have to go back into eternity, get God's heart, and frame your world and life from his heart in eternity so that you can outwork that, and you will be a creator of history. And the history that will bring order and government of God and the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Because we're all called as sons of God to reflect that and to outwork it. So, you know, this is a place where, you know, you have to have that orb given to you, which invests you with authority to be able to make and decree laws. But God will give it you. Set the desires of your heart on it. Because it's not that none of you won't be able to do it. You will. You just might have to mature a little bit to be able to. And that maturity is the process that we read. You know, walk in his ways here, be faithful, become a friend. He invites you to come into the realms of heaven to cross over. As a lord in heaven, you then begin to legislate and govern. Then you become a king. And then in sonship, you outwork more in terms of the purposes of God. So there's a process. But it's all about relationship, not but trying to climb the ladder. You're not trying to get to the ladder to get to the top, because then you'll be the top of the tree. It's like it all comes through humility. Because what does God do when you humble yourself under his mighty hand? Exalt you. So when you humble yourself and accept who you are as a child of God, he will lift you up and give you the access to all those places. If you try and do it because you want position, because that position will give you self-esteem, then he won't. And you'll be striving to do something that all you have to do is surrender and humble yourself and you'll get anyway. So just chill out and relax. Don't strive for anything. But pursue it with a desire of your heart to outwork it. So I made laws on this blank scroll. The first law I made was the law of fatherhood and sonship. And, you know, I love that law. We've seen that law over and over again at work. We have a place with us which is where people can find the Father heart of God and discover who they are as sons. And, you know, that law, and you know, I've said this, came with what we now call the law of unintended consequences. Sometimes if you don't prepare for what you release, you may be surprised with what happens. And we were when it came to the recent law of sonship, father and sonship, because you know, we were so excited that we'd followed through this process and you know, we'd done what God said, did the strategy, we declared it in the court of kings, we released it from our statute book, and we call for an environment to be around that the father heart of God would be received and sonship would be restored. So the next Saturday, we did this on a Monday, next Sunday, we engage on Sunday morning. I'm not there. And the whole thing broke open. I mean, people were in tears. Men were crying and sobbing because their father issues came up. I mean, it was a really emotional space, you know, because something in the atmosphere had called the children to turn to their father, the hearts of the children to turn back to the father. And, you know, when I heard what had gone on, I thought, that's really great. And then I heard the consequences of what went on. Because we have a whole load of guys who come every week who are from our rehabilitation unit. And most of them have father issues. And their father issues came to the surface big time. And they didn't know how to handle it. Because what they normally do when surface issues come to the surface is use substances to mask and cover what comes to the surface because they can't face it. So two of them did a complete runner and ran off. Others started behaving really badly. And the poor people on the rehabilitation unit were like, what did you do? Well, we didn't do anything. It just happened. So from now on, whenever we do something that may have a consequence, we warn them. We say, get ready. We warn our ministry team to be prepared. So when you release something governmental, actually be prepared that some things may happen. And make sure that you're not caught unawares as much as you possibly can. So always be prepared in those things.
Mark, could you just give us the language that law has?
I've got a whole list there that I'll share in a minute. Yeah, just as examples of the sort of thing that you do and then what you do with it once you've got it. Because you have to use it. So when you follow the protocols through the process, this is you then go to the court chancellors, take it to the court of scribes, and then you have it to use. You can take it to your mountain, you can put it in your treasure room, you can put it in your heart. You know, eat it, do what you do with scrolls. Now, the court of the upright is where the cloud of witnesses are and the men in white litten. You can go there, again, present scrolls, mandates, blueprints, and they do want to be involved. I didn't understand any of that. Wisdom took me there. We go in, and there's 12 seats, and there's these 12 people on these things, and in front of them there's mantles and there's torches, and I'm looking, and I recognize some of them. And then the more I looked, I recognized all of them, not necessarily by sight, but I knew who they were. And that every one of them had been assigned to us as a ministry, to our bench of 12, because they all had a specific role which related to our ministry. And they were most of the people you would know, and I'm sure they may have involved with other people as well. But they were very significant, because I encouraged our bench of 12 then to go and engage with them and find out what they were able to give us and how they were to help. And you know, since then, we've had encounters where all our benches and all our mountain benches have been encouraged to do the same. And we had some really interesting engagements the last time with people didn't even know who they were, didn't even know their names. But when they looked them up, they were just like, wow, what insight and what amazing things this guy's got. You know, so be open for that. And, you know, in all these things, don't pursue the experience. It's not just about an experience. It's about the relationship we have with God that brings us into a position that enables us to bring his kingdom. So there's function and purpose in all these things. Courts of the Council of the Fathers. When I've ever been there, I've been given some tasks or an understanding more of what I've been called to do. At the beginning of the year, you know, I was called to, God said, I want you to give time to me to legislate at the end of the day. And so I thought, okay. So then first day, get there, give some time. So, okay, God, what do you want me to do? So wisdom engaged with me, took me to the court of the Council of the Fathers. So I go in the court, and there's like two sort of things of 12 elders and Father, Son, and Spirit in the middle of them. And so I go there, and it's like they release the heart of the Father to you. So that's why they're the councils of the fathers, because they are bringing old and new together. They bring one new man. They are like they're 24, but they function together like a 12. But they do release the heart of the Father. So when you receive something from God, from as a legislative thing, you need the heart behind it. You know, you don't want to just get something and then be legalistic with it. You know, because you can get a law and then you can try and force it. Well, you don't need to force the law. The law has power in itself. You just have to use the authorization it gives you and use it, but don't try and force it. You know, the days of the violent take the kingdom by force ended, you know, with John the Baptist. It's not like that anymore. We don't have to force anything. We just have to enforce it in the right way with authority and know the authority. So I found that they gave me directives to produce legislation. So they told me, you have the authority to legislate in these areas. And I was told you can legislate for the Joshua generation. You can legislate for bringing freedom and restrictions off people. You can legislate to bring religious freedom into the old order. You can legislate for the harvest. You can legislate for various things. You know, so I was told that, and then I then went bit by bit and produced that legislation. And then I used the legislation, and I still use it because it's an ongoing part of the statutes. Now, I shared that with our bench 3, with our bench 12. Now, they're on our church statute books, and I've also shared a lot of them with the Joshua generation and the legislative groups, part of the Engage in God program, for them to use them. No, you don't have to use them again just by rote. You can use the principles there and use them to be creative to produce what you do with legislation. So you use the legislation to decree, to declare, to call forth, to bring things, to order things, to direct angels and do that sort of stuff. And they also gave me access to the Court of 70. Now, I'd been to the Court of 70. First time I went into that realm of Heaven of Heavens, the atmosphere is different there. And it's the light's different because you're operating at a different speed and quality of light. I couldn't even see when I first went in there. I couldn't breathe. It was like the atmosphere I wasn't used to, and I couldn't see it. And I stood there for quite a while before I could even actually form any shape. And the Court of 70, I mean, there is such stuff going on above. I mean, there's all sorts of light and things. It's difficult to describe, but, you know, if you go there and observe if you're allowed. You might not be allowed into that place to observe. I don't know. I was taken there. But it's a pretty serious place, and they do pretty high-end order stuff. Now, God is waiting for people of this generation to take their place at that Court of 70. There are some people who are there who are of this generation, because God calls people to serve the purpose of God in their generation, like David. David was a man after God's own heart, and David served the purpose of God in his generation. And we are operating according to the tabernacle of David, which is open access to the presence of God, and the keys of David. And one of the keys of David is 444. And you'll find that there's a 444 tuning of instruments, which will have a thing. There's a 433, 42. There's all sorts of things which are frequencies, because David was a musician. You know, anyway. I was given access to Satan's trophy room there, which is stuff that goes on under the earth. I was given access to the 12 chancellor's houses there. And it took me 18 months to figure out that. I went into the 12 chancellor's houses, went in there, wrote down what I was experiencing, and then when I looked back, I didn't understand anything I wrote down. Because it was so different. It really was. You know, the first one I went in, precepts, house of precepts, and like there's these four windows in there, looking into something, and I'm just like, how do I describe it? And I found it difficult to describe any of them. And I did my best, wrote down what I sort of got, and some of them were easier when I got used to it. And I'd been in a few of them before, particularly the Affairs of the Nations. I found that I'd been in there several times, although I didn't know what it was until I was shown each of the things. Because wisdom took me to each house, introduced me to the High Chancellor of the house, and then because I had a chancellor's seal, I could gain access to the houses. And I went and looked at it all, went through, saw some things, and God then said, now you need to go back to the beginning and go through the whole thing and then learn how to align those houses with the circle of the deep so that dimensionally things operate. Now, I'll share a little bit tomorrow because God wants us to align these things for your nation. So tomorrow I'll share a little bit about how to align it, and we'll do some aligning so that we can see the fulfillment of the purpose of God in what God wants to do. So all that came from the court of the councils of fathers. So it's a really cool place, you know. But again, I didn't know how to get there until I was shown. No. And actually, I don't waltz in there anyway. You know, it's something that I really feel I need a mandate for I can go. So court of 70, well, they meet for four periods of 7 days during a year for judgment, justice, grace and mercy. You know, it took me 18 months to understand how to make a case to there, and then I spent the whole year making those four cases, you know, even though I didn't know I was going to do that. You know, again, Jehovah sneaky. You know, someone called Jehovah set up. There's another one. He sets you up all the time. You know, what he does for me, he sets me up. I say yes to something, and then I realize I said yes to a whole lot more than I thought.
Yeah.
Been there, done that one. Yeah. So, you know, I got, not this year, but last year, I spent the whole year making cases for a specific thing for the Joshua generation to release people from the old Moses order into the new. And we're, having judgment been passed, we're now in the situation of justice being at work. And that may take a while. But I'm really looking forward for grace and mercy. Because I have the results of that case for grace and mercy, and I'm really looking forward for those things to be outworked. So, you know, you need to understand, if you're going to make a case in any court, really, if you're coming to present something for an outworking of something to get a verdict, then you need to understand the precepts, the statutes, the laws of God. You need to understand how to produce evidence, and you need to understand how to craft a verdict, a jurisdiction for an outworking. And, you know, I'm just saying this now because, you know, in a few years' time it might make sense to you because you'll have heard it. If I don't say it, then you'll have never heard it. So don't think, oh, I don't know what he's talking about. Yeah, it's okay. You don't need to know what I'm talking about. Just let your spirit resonate with it. When you need to know, it'll come back to you. No, but if I don't tell you, then you'll be finding, well, how do I do when I get here? Well, at least you'll have some idea, you know, but you have to work it out yourself anyway. So God said this, my precepts are the foundation of the beginning. I am my eternal nature, the character, the fullest expression of who I am. The foundation of righteousness, the fullest demonstration of love revealed in pure light. My heart revealed the why of creation. That's what God said. My statutes are the fullest expression of how I see and perceive everything, my worldview, the lens through which all things from the largest galaxy to the smallest particle are observed. My observation enables existence of all things. Now, if you get hold of this, it can transform how you live if you operate according to his statutes and his precepts. My mind revealed the what of creation. My laws, the principles that enabled all things to exist, which holds everything together, the divine cogs of all existence from the relative to the quantum, my voice revealed the how of creation. Now, I know you won't get all this, but if you go back over it and you meditate on it, it will be transformatory in how you view things. But it's got by you engaging it, not by me trying to explain it, because I couldn't. So when I was called to present this case, you know, I was presenting the case to that court of 70. Now, some people call it the Galactic Council. Now, I think that sounds a bit pretentious, so I don't really call it that. I just say it's a court of 70. It's what was the Sanhedrin in Israel was based on. The Sanhedrin, the 70, you know, when Jesus was going to be crucified, they had to take them to the Sanhedrin because they had the power of life and death. None of the other courts, the Beit Din or the other Sanhedrin, which was a court of 21, they couldn't do that. But the 70 could, which is why Jesus was taken there. So again, you know, what was on earth was a reflection of what was already established in heaven. So God called me to make a judgment against the old Moses order on the basis of, is what is here a reflection of heaven governmentally? So it was a very specific case that I had to do, although it was quite complicated for me to learn how to do it, but I did. So I learned how to make the case, presented the case, and it's like a high-level class action case. And I know others who I've been talking to, legislatively and some of our legislation groups, they are doing class action cases on behalf of a lot of people, not just on behalf of themselves, because they've been given that remit. And there's a lot of stuff going on in the courts. You know, a few years ago, no one knew nothing. Now, God's bringing revelation and opening the books and giving us understanding, because he's calling us into sonship. He's calling us into co-heirship of the kingdom. I mean, it's like, this is what we were made for. To be sons. To do the Father's business. And the Father's business is governing, ruling, establishing, creating, releasing, blessing, empowering. So all the cases that you make has to be based on the precepts of God. That is the foundation of it if you're going to actually do it. Now, I'll just give you some examples of some of the things, just so you can sort of get some of the idea of what laws are, and then I've got some things where I use the laws. And we'll use some of these tomorrow, because basically these laws, most of them are for the Joshua generation, and we can use them to outwork some of the things. So here's the one, this is one that was the latest one actually that I engaged with. I was in a legislative group with Mountain Time Group, who are always interesting to be engaged with because they're always asking questions and want to do stuff. So person asks, you know, are we in the year of Jubilee? Well, I said, well, some people would say yes, some people would say no, depending on what their understanding of the Jewish calendar is, because there's difference amongst rabbis and others what date there is, because some leave out years of the exile and some add in the exile. But what I said was, well, actually, let's see that we're in the new covenant, and therefore we're in perpetual jubilee. Because the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon us to cancel all debts. Yeah. So there's continual cancellation of debts, so we can always get restored. That's why we're in the day of the restoration of all things. Yeah. So it's always jubilee for us. You know. So I said that, and so then I said, well, okay, well, let's go and engage and look at whether God will release something about a law of Jubilee. Let's see whether there's legislation for Jubilee. If we're in it, let's engage it. So we did, and you know, usually I don't really engage in those things myself much because I just watch and observe, and it's for me to equip others, not to do it. So by this occasion, God said, no, I want you to use this because you're going to use this tomorrow, you know. And you know, and so this is what it was. Now, when you get laws and when you get things, you may get them in different ways. Now, I am a legislator. You know, I get things which are very specific because that's the way they come. When you engage, they may not come like that for you. We found when we were doing laws in the church and we were doing in our bench of 12 that they came with four basic aspects to it. There's the sort of preamble or context, which sometimes comes with some scriptures and give you the sort of context of what the law is about. Then there is the jurisdiction for the law, what area you can use the law in. And then there was the actual authorizations that this law would give you. And then there was the results that you could expect as a result of the law. So we found that that was a good pattern. When people sort of get a whole load of stuff, particularly if you do it corporately, and it's like, well, how do we pick through what everyone's brought? And we found that they fell into those categories generally, which was helpful for our guys because, you know, they're not as used to doing it as I am. And so they were, oh, well, what does that mean? And how do you put that together? But now they find it much easier. So this is what it said. It says, you are authorized on behalf of the Joshua generation to release freedom to captives. You're authorized to decree light that will penetrate the darkness of the religious coverings of men. You're authorized to break yokes, destroy the heavy burdens placed on my people by the old order. You're authorized to call for the removal of the restrictions and limitations placed on my people by the taskmasters of the old order. You're authorized to release ordinances of heaven to take their positions in readiness for engagement. You're authorized to administrate for the establishing of heavenly positions of sonship. You're authorized to call for the sons of God to be seated in heavenly places. You're authorized to release scrolls, mandates, prepared and ready for a new generation to come forth out of the wilderness. I call you to release lightning bolts from heaven, the sound of my glorified voice in fire, to those who are oppressed and heavy weighed down under the weight of the laws, the bondage of the old structures. You're authorized to administrate the end of the religious slavery imposed to serve another's vision. You're authorized to call for destiny to come forth to call those out of the wilderness to cross over into their inheritance. You're authorized to call for the restoration of the heritage and inheritance. You're authorized to call for the end of slavery of the wilderness under the mediation of the old order. You're authorized to release the sound and frequency of the light of Jubilee. You're authorized to call for the cancellation of all spiritual debts and obligations that hold people in the wilderness. Now I'm authorized, I can do that. Now, how do you do it? Well, I just do it. You know, I know I can do all those things. So when I'm on my throne or on the mountain and I feel led to do something, then I call for things, I release things, I do whatever it says here. But I don't do it by holding my piece of paper and going through it. Think, oh, what should I do? Now this is in me. Now it's been released. It's in me, and I have the power to release it. My spirit directs. So I just find it flows. You know, so often I record some of the things I do. But when you're given this, it's like there's a lot there. You know, it would take you quite a while to do some of that stuff. So this isn't like, oh, well, I'm going to do this in one morning. This is something that I'm going to outwork in the season of justice. Because this will bring justice to people who are in bondage. So, you know, some of these sort of things are similar, because this was the law of religious freedom, which was one of the first ones I made when I was given this directive. I hereby authorize the law of religious freedom. The law approves the right of the Joshua generation to set God's people free. So that's the sort of the preamble of it. You're authorized to bring freedom to the oppressed, to release light into the shrouded darkness of the old order. You're authorized to administer Emmaus road-like encounters to those whose minds have been veiled by the coverings of men. Now, I'm really administrating that because I want people to have those encounters like the people on the Emmaus road, where Jesus unveiled their mind to see who he really was. And he gave them amazing revelation from the truth, and then he discovered it. And they took communion. They broke bread together, they ate together, and it's like it unveiled something. You're authorized to call for and administrate justice for God's people. If you, in love, you're empowered to challenge the old wineskins and their associated mindsets, which is why I don't have a problem challenging some of these things, because I'm authorized to do it. I don't do it because I like doing it. You know, I'm not a confrontational sort of person. No, but actually I do it because God said I could do it, and actually if I don't do it, well, those wineskins will remain unchallenged. You are to call for the Joshua generation to action, to call into the valley of decision and release heaven's sound and light. There's a whole valley of decision, which is those who are approach the Jordan, if you like, from a wilderness perspective, but they're under the shadow of the mountains that people have built there, ministries, apostles, prophets, who've built their ministries in the wilderness and cast a shadow, a covering over people so they can't see the promised land. Because you never have a valley unless there's a mountain. And those mountains have covered people so they can't see the promises. But something in their spirit is drawing them. And some people's spirits have drawn them right out. Hence so many people leaving the church. Now, and they're not leaving because they just don't like it. They're leaving because there's something in them saying it's got to be more than this. You know, and I can't be restricted anymore. I can't be covered by people who don't let me be me. You know, and that's what people may not be able to verbalize that, but something in their spirit is stirring them. And a lot of them are in that valley of decision because they're trying to come out from under the mountain, but the shadow of it is still over them. So, you know, with John the Baptist in, you know, Isaiah 40, it talks about, you know, call into the wilderness. Well, it didn't say that, did it? It said call out from the wilderness. There's a call coming from the wilderness because it was John the Baptist who was calling, make a way. But what was he saying? Let the mountains made low. Well, what mountains was he talking about? All the religious structures in their day which were going to oppose Jesus. And they certainly tried to oppose him. And they actually crucified him. So that when those mountains came down, and that's what happened when Jesus took the kingdom from them, their authority was removed. That's why he turned over the money changers' tables. That's why he left the temple desolate. That's why he took the authority from them to give it to a people. On the day of Pentecost, that authority was given to a new people. Because when he went into heaven after his resurrection, before his ascension, because he went into heaven before his ascension, when Mary couldn't touch him, when she met him in the thing, he said, well, I'm not yet glorified. But then when Thomas comes along and the others, they could touch him. So he was glorified between the resurrection and the ascension. That was what happened in Daniel chapter 7. He goes before the Ancient of Days and he's given a kingdom. And then he gives the kingdom to the saints. And that kingdom will not pass away. And that kingdom will not be given to another people, it says. So that kingdom belongs to us because he's given us the authority. It was removed from the old covenant order into a new one. So we have that authority because Jesus invested us with it by taking his position and calling us into our positions, because now he's seated on the right hand of the Father and he calls us to be seated with him in the heavenly places, which means the authority is now released to God's people to use the authority of the kingdom. You know, so we have to use that authority and we need to see those mountains made low. So now we're not calling out of the wilderness because that's already taken place. Jesus has already come. Those mountains have come down. But then religion has built other ones up. So all those Moses ministries who I honor, you know, I am not knocking them for what they've done in the past because I've been so blessed by many who have helped me on my journey. And they've brought revelation and they've unveiled things and they've brought in things, insight that have been encouraging. But many of them have failed to let people in. And they're like the Pharisees. They've closed the kingdom. They won't go in and they won't let anyone else cross over either. No, I don't like that. No, I love them and I want them to have Emmaus Road encounters. But unfortunately, so many of them invested so much in building that mountain in the wilderness, and that is their livelihood, that's their financial security, that's their reputation, they're not willing to let it go. Because they can't do what they've been doing in the wilderness in the promised land. Because when Moses died and Joshua took over, what happened? The manna stopped. The quail stopped turning up. You know, the clothes wore out. Everything then, they were then responsible to then do what Moses was doing for them and God was doing for them because they were children. But then they had to mature and they had to come into maturity in the promised land. They had to go and possess. So, you know, Joshua didn't part the Jordan like Moses did the Red Sea. The people did with the presence of the ark and the priests stepped forward and they all walked across. Everything changed. And a lot of people aren't prepared for change because of mostly financial issues and issues of reputation. Now, we need to really engage for those people. You know, I'm not content that they die in the wilderness. I don't want them to die in the wilderness. I want them to cross over into their full inheritance. And I want them to encourage all the people that are with them to go over. But to do that, they have to remove their coverings from them. You know, so the whole system of apostolic government and prophetic coverings has to end. If people are going to come into their full inheritance, it has to end. Now, God has removed the authority already, but they are still operating in earthly authority. And you will notice that earthly authority will get more and more restrictive, more and more legal, more and more things. And I see it. You know, I look at these things. God shows me. I use that as evidence for court cases. So I've seen where people are getting more and more legalistic and rigid because they have to control things because they don't have heavenly authority anymore. So expect that, but we now need to call into the wilderness. What do we need to call? For the valleys to be made low. The mountains made low, the valleys lifted up. Well, what's going to lift up the valleys? All the stuff in the mountains which no longer is there. And then people can see. And then the crooked places will be made straight and the rough places smooth. So people will be able to cross. Now, forerunners, we're making those crooked places straight and those rough places smooth. Because we're preparing a way for people to follow by pushing through and opening up and saying, hey, here's a good report, cross over. But those mountains are going to have to come down one way or another, or people are going to have to come out from under the coverings. So we need to call people. You know, if you know people who want more and they're still covered and they're struggling with that whole principle, do everything you can to encourage them, and it's good when you come out from under. And they don't need to be afraid. They're not open to the enemy's attack because God's their covering. You know, it's just fear to stop you leaving. So all that stuff goes on, and most of you know that. And I know a lot of you have paid the cost to come out. You know, when you've come out, you've not necessarily found immediately what you're looking for. You know, but actually don't give up, because it's coming. In fact, you may be the people who have to start it. You know, those who go first, you have to demonstrate for everyone else. Now, I know a lot of people struggle with this because they think, well, I'm not an expert. You know, I didn't go to Bible college. I didn't go to Bible. I've not got a doctorate in this or that and the other. Well, praise God. You know, you won't have to jettison all that stuff that they've got. Because God will give you everything you need. Just be obedient. Get a blueprint from heaven. Start calling for the government. Start establishing it. We need desperately to see those ecclesias raised up. You know, I want to see what we do tomorrow release government over the nation that calls forth to release those blueprints to see those storehouses all over your nation. Because if you're going to see a harvest, I mean, how many people in the US? 300 million? Thereabouts? Well, what's 20% of 300 million? 60 million? Okay. Well, how many places do you think it's going to take to house 60 million? Quite a few. All over. So be prepared to establish one to be ready for the harvest. Because the harvest is not going to come in a revival like we've seen before. It won't happen the way it's happened before. We're in a new day. God's doing things a new way. So those who are calling for a new Azusa Street or they're calling for a new this, we're not going to get anything like it has been before. This is a new day. We're going to see new things that we've never seen before. So start calling for it and preparing for it and getting ready for that harvest that's going to come. Because the harvest is going to come when the light shines and people are drawn to the light. Because the mountain and the house of the Lord will be raised up above all the other hills, and they'll, what? Draw people. You know, even the kings of nations will come to the brightness of your rising. So you have to arise and shine and radiate the light of God. You know, in a position of governmental authority that actually administrates heaven on earth. Because that's what people are looking for. They're looking for a genuine, authentic people who operate under the kingdom of God and know God and have a relationship with him. You know, they're not looking for religion. If they were, they'd be queuing up every Sunday to get in. And they're not. Because they think religion is rubbish. And it is. It's just rubbish. It's man-made bondage. Well, who wants to come out of one bondage and come into another one? It's out of the frying pan into the fire. Now, God wants to destroy all that. Now, I'm not talking about people, because God loves everybody. But he doesn't like the structures that we're in. He doesn't recognize them. Judgment has been passed on them. Now, the day after I finished this court case before the court of 70 for judgment was the day this whole thing opened up at Bethel with Jason Westerfield. Now, I'm not going to go into the ins and outs of what happened and didn't happen, but what it did expose was a top-down structure that was calling people to come under coverings and started to set biblical parameters for what would be right. From a people who said that their ceiling would be the next generation's floor. And as soon as it comes to it, it isn't. And that's just one example, and that kicked off the next day. And there's more and more, because when that happened, there was a precedent set for people to publicly expose people from the pulpit. And it's continued. So Ian and Justin and others have been called Gnostics. From the global legacy churches who were covered by those other churches who said, you couldn't do this. Now, you know, I don't care what anyone thinks about that, or if anyone has a challenge with that with me, well, okay. But I've got a mandate here to actually challenge the old wineskins. So I'm willing to do it. Now, I love Bill Johnson. I've been blessed by that guy so much. And he's had heavenly encounters. but he's not enabling anyone else to go. Because it's all about come here, come down here, come down here. Heaven invade earth. That's an old model. We need to go into heaven and bring heaven down, which is a new model. Yeah, so, you know, please don't get offended because I'm just doing what God said. So anyway, blame him. Don't shoot the messenger. Yeah. But I'm passionate about it because I hate people being robbed of their inheritance. I really don't like people being covered and therefore they can't see who they really are because they're controlled. It's a control system to keep us from our inheritance established by the enemy to keep him safe from us. Because as soon as we know who we are, his days are finished. Because as soon as we take our position in the heavens, guess where he is? Under our feet. But while we're scrapping around going to and fro, he's on the same level. Now, I wouldn't take on the devil at the same level. I'm going to take him on from above. And all the things and minions and other fallen angels that he operates with, we need the power to do it from above as sons of God. Don't do it below. So you are called to call the Joshua generation to action, to call into the valley of decision and release heaven's sound and light. That's you. If you are a forerunner, you are the Joshua generation. You must call into the wilderness to those that you know. Call in, release a sound, release a light. You know, that's what God gets me to do all the time. That's why I release blue lights and things from heaven. And people engage them. You can do the same thing. So ask God where you're mandated and authorized to call into the wilderness and keep calling. Don't give up. Don't let your friends be covered and waste their inheritance under someone else's vision. Now, didn't we say earlier when we're singing, an army's rising up? Well, let's start being active in what we're doing. Now, I don't want to be disrespectful, and I don't want you to be subversive in any way. Don't hide what you're doing, and don't be afraid to challenge, but don't do it and dishonor those leaders that are there. Because they have leadership, whether it's right or wrong, they have leadership. You can't usurp it. So if you're in a situation where you're covered by someone in one of those areas, honor the people and leave. Don't be a thorn in their side. And don't try and change something from with under, because you can't do it. You will get so frustrated trying to change something when you have no authority to do it. Because if you are not the leaders of that church, you have no authority to change it. Because God still honors authority. He may have removed his heavenly government, but he still recognizes his government. Hence, he recognizes all earthly governments. So don't moan about yours. Which you do, because I've heard you. Maybe not you, but most people in America I've heard. On Facebook, at least. Because I know you call your president all sorts of stuff. And he isn't the Antichrist. Because there is no Antichrist. The Antichrist is a spirit that went forth with people in the early church. Read 1 John. There's only 3 mentions of it. It's not a person. There were people who went out actually bringing bondage to people by preaching things which would bring people back under the law. You know, so don't get caught up in all that stuff and have a bad attitude towards it. You know, love those people. I love those people. The only reason I want to challenge it, because I love them and I don't want them to lose their inheritance and die in the wilderness. You know, it's so sad that Moses died in the wilderness. Now, I do know, obviously he knows he's got his body back and that Moses has other stuff. He's not finished doing what he did. But the whole thing didn't help the whole generation who died there. So let's do everything we possibly can, because we do have a mandate to do so. If you feel you're called to be part of the Joshua generation, this law gives you the right to call into the valley of decision and release a sound that will draw people out and a light that will attract them. So give a good report. Give a good report of what your testimony is and encourage people. Now, it's not easy because people struggle when they're challenged with these things because they've been under it for so long, they feel like slaves. But help them. You have been assigned the ordinances and the angelic hosts to engage in visitations in dreams and visions. Send angels to the people you know who you believe God is calling you to call into freedom, and send angels to engage them in visitations, in dreams and visions. Because if they have a vision that challenges their preconceived ideas, like Peter had, you know, on a roof in a trance, which changed the whole course of church history and opened for the gospel, and then God challenges him to go with another angel who comes and says, go to this house of a Gentile, which if he went, he would be unclean, but he'd only be unclean if he was living under the law. And now he'd been free, so he didn't need to be fearful of going into Gentiles, but he was still living under a mindset yet, because it hadn't been completely set free from it. This broke that mindset over him, because he went to Cornelius' house, who also had an angel come to him, and he wasn't even a believer yet, and told him to call for Peter. So here's these two angels arranging this gathering to change the whole course of church history. So those who say angels don't do things, there are two occasions which changed our... We wouldn't be here if that hadn't taken place. Because they were stuck in Jerusalem when they were told to go beyond. So actually assign angels with dreams and visions to go and engage people. Because it's visions which will change them. And dreams that can turn them around as well. It says here, the old order mountains can be shaken with the wind of change. Now there's that angel over here who's called Winds of Change. And that whole order of angels called Wind of Change. Send them into those mountains. Because they will bring shaking. And what will be shaken? Anything which is man-made. Says in Hebrews 12. Anything that can be shaken, which is handmade, will be shaken. What will remain? That which is of the kingdom. Use this legislation wisely and with precision, and many will be set free to receive their inheritance. So don't go carte blanche out there just trying to wreck everything. You know, be wise and ask God for a specific mandate, for a specific situation, and use the authority you have to target those that God wants you to target with grace and mercy and love. Not with arrogance and pride, and we know it all, we know everything better, and we're in heaven and you're on earth. If you operate like that, everyone will forget it. They'll reject it. Be humble. It's nothing to do with us. We're just being called by God and given these positions. You know, we just humble ourselves under God's mighty hand, and he does all this. We can't go around boasting, because it will just put people off. So really keep your attitudes right to it. You know, don't offend people for the sake of it. You know, be generous, gracious, merciful, and kind, and loving, but do reach out and engage them, because I believe God wants to call a whole new wave to come out from under those coverings. You know, they're waiting. They're waiting for someone to call for them. They're waiting for someone to draw them out. Well, who's going to do that? Forerunners. That's what Joshua and Caleb did when they spied out the promised land. They came in good report. And they were really devastated when people said no. They even rend their clothes open because they were so sad that they weren't going to go. Now, they obviously prepared for the next 40 years. You know, they were preparing a generation to go in. I mean, they weren't doing nothing for 40 years. You know, they were preparing all those who were under the age of 19 at the time, under the age of 20 at the time, to be ready to cross over. So they were building up their faith and calling out their identity. So for 40 years, Egypt got out of them. So slavery mentality was broken. Now, what did Joshua do? How did he get his intimacy? Well, when Moses left the tent of meeting, Joshua stayed behind, lingered in the presence of God with intimacy and revelation. So, you know, that's just a couple of laws. I mean, I've got loads of laws here, which God has given me. The law of restrictions. So I had this law, which God says you are challenged to remove the restrictions. And so this is my response. I'll give you a response to a law rather than just the law. So in response to the fact that I had been given this authority to challenge restrictions on people, this is my response. I call for the removal of the limits to unveil the beyond, the limitless possibilities of eternal reality. I call for freedom from religious restrictions that are creating limitations. I call for justice against all fear-based entanglements that are hindering the exchange, which is people's lives changing. I call for the heavenly host to witness for justice, for all the mindsets and limitations will be exposed and removed from our 3, 7, 12 and all our mountain benches, because they were all under limitations, didn't believe who they were. You know, and I included me in that. You know, because I wanted to believe everything, so I wanted all limitations and restrictions off my life. So I can challenge myself a lot, because I know sometimes what limitations I carry. I call for the courage and boldness to possess the unknown to be instilled into the hearts and mind of all our government. I call for all selfishness to be exposed and surrendered. I call for hearts, minds, wills to be filled with compassion and zeal and passion. I call for all confusion to be removed from hearts and minds. I call for the exchange to be commissioned. This is to do with us in the church. I call for all obstacles to be removed, for all those to be drawn to the light. I call for mountains to be made low, valleys lifted up, rough places made smooth, crooked places paths made straight. I call for the opening of the everlasting doors and the atmosphere to be cleansed. I call for the angelic armies to be released with fire into the atmosphere over our sphere of government. I call for the principality of our city of refuge to be installed. So it's about calling things. It's about decreeing things. It's about declaring things. It's about using the authority you have. So tomorrow, we can do some of that. You know, we need to engage the principalities that God has inspired for all of our areas. You know, and, you know, I've engaged with them already, and they're waiting for you to engage. You know, and there's so many of them. I mean, that whole patchwork quilt thing, it's like, it's a sign that God is actually beginning to bring things together and bring order. And you'll find that you will be able to engage in things tomorrow, and it will begin to bring a change to your areas. Because it will bring the fragrance that God has for the whole of the nation when all your individual fragrances come together as one, rather than all being separate. You know, so let's be really open for tomorrow. When you go to bed tonight, you know, ask God for dreams and visions, whatever he gives you, to be ready for whatever God does tomorrow, because I'm really excited. We're going to do some really important things. Tomorrow is going to be a new day. You know, what do we say? 888.